series of books as well as radio programs. The interview collections have sold in the hundreds of thousands, which is remarkable since they have had virtually no promotion and have not been reviewed, even in left journals. In working with Chomsky over the years, I've been struck by his consistency, patience, and equanimity. There are no power plays or superior airs. His rich and wry sense of humor often goes unnoticed in the fusillade of facts. In terms of his intellectual chops, he is awesome in his ability to take a wide and disparate amount of information and cobble it into a coherent analysis. Chomsky is indefatigable. He is a rebel, as Bono of U2 calls him, without a pause. In addition to producing a steady stream of articles and books on politics and linguistics, he maintains a heavy speaking schedule. He is in enormous demand and is often booked years in advance. He draws huge audiences wherever he goes, though not because of a flashy speaking style. As he once told me, "I'm not a charismatic speaker, and if I had the capacity to be one, I wouldn't. I'm really not interested in persuading people. What I like to do is help people persuade themselves." And this he has done probably with more diligence over a longer period of time than any other intellectual alive. To cite just one example of his solidarity, in 1998, I asked him to come to Boulder to speak at KGNU's 20th anniversary celebration. Notwithstanding being fatigued from recent surgery, he not only came, but waived his fee. Chomsky is a very special person to many people, not just in the United States, but around the world. Frequently, he's introduced as someone who speaks truth to power. It's almost a cliche, but that's not really what he's about. He's about speaking truth to us, speaking truth to people. As he reminded us in a classic essay 30 years ago, it's the responsibility of intellectuals to speak the truth and to expose lies. Like the Sufi sages of West and South Asia, Noam Chomsky teaches by practice. His practice includes an egalitarian spirit, where the Nobel Prize winner will sit and wait outside his office until the student writing an article for the high school newspaper finishes. His practice includes alerting us to the depredations of language, terms like free trade and national interest. His practice is exemplified in the solidarity and service he extends to people from East Timor to Palestine to Colombia to East Harlem. You need a speaker. You need a signature. You need help. Noam Chomsky is there. His practice is to tell you what he thinks, but not what you should think. His practice is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Rather than simply curse the darkness, his practice is to light a candle for us to see. Although decidedly secular, he is for many of us our rabbi, our preacher, our Rinpoche, our pundit, our imam, our sensei. David Barsamian, Boulder, Colorado. Chapter 1. Activist Victories. Boulder, Colorado, May 10th, 1998. Your busy speaking schedule has taken you recently to Toronto, Winona State University in Winona, Minnesota, Fort Wayne, Indiana, London, England, and today, Boulder, Colorado. What's going on at these events? I know you've been getting huge crowds. You can see that the tour is building up in significance and importance, finally reaching the peak in Boulder. You can't do better than this. It's pretty much what's been going on for a number of years now. There are very large, enthusiastic, and interested audiences that participate actively. They ask serious questions and want to talk about important issues. Topics that I never would have thought of discussing 20 years ago are now perfectly accessible to anyone. I really never think twice about what I'm going to say to a particular audience. London is a different scene, but Fort Wayne was organized by the Northeast Indiana Labor Council, a collection of a couple of dozen unions in the industrial heartland. I don't know the Winona area very well.